You're listening to the Expression Engine Podcast, episode number 77, all about Expression Engine Search. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
This episode is sponsored by EE Garage. EE Garage provides must-have add-ons built by dedicated Expression Engine developers with over 5 years' experience. NSM Betermeta, NSM Reports, and NSM Override are just some of the popular add-ons backed by an excellent support team. EE Garage is committed to the community, and as a thank you for those tuning in, they are providing you, our beloved listener, with one free add-on. Visit ee-garage.com/eepodcast to get your premium add-on today.
The Expression Engine Podcast would also like to thank Pixel and Tonic for being our major sponsor of the year. Hey, Leah, I don't know about you, but I cannot believe it's already September.
You're telling me. I'm in denial about it, especially since I'm turning the big 3-0 this month.
That's nothing. I'm turning 38 tomorrow.
My goodness. Happy birthday to us.
I know. Seriously. Are you a Virgo?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I think we must have had that discussion before.
Yeah.
So before we get into today's topic of search, I think we wanted to talk about a bit of EE news, starting with Ellis Labs' recent announcement about some changes to their social media policy.
Right. In the end, I think Ellis Lab has to do what they think is right and sustainable for them. I have to say, I am a bit disappointed because I personally use social media constantly to engage with others and build my business, and clearly so do many others in our community. But we have to remember that just because something works for me or for you doesn't mean it's for every business. I think that Ryan Ireland at EE Insider has a very level analysis of the policy, and I encourage all listeners to read it.
Yeah, I was just glancing at it myself, and I know there are some people who seemed a little frustrated with their decision to consolidate their Twitter accounts and ask for people to reach out to them via email if they have some issues, because they felt that that would be a better medium for them to address it. You know, the only thing that occurs to me is that they came out with this shortly after the bit of the brouhaha that happened a few weeks ago with people being frustrated with the status of bugs and everything. Yeah. And Ellis Lab seemed kind of silent. And so maybe this was their way of saying, listen, we were maybe silent on Twitter, but if you had emailed us or you tried to reach out to us, we would have been able to connect with you. I'm going to guess they don't have the resources to properly treat social media the way it needs to be treated for, you know, bug reporting or needing help. You do need someone monitoring it all the time. It's a full-time job.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think that there's many different ways you can successfully use social media, but if you don't have a united front, I guess, in terms of how you want to use it, then might as well use something that you know you can engage well in. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I personally don't think it's going to adversely affect what already is happening on Twitter, like with the EECMS hashtag and everything, because that seems to be thriving. Ryan even commented on that in his EE Insider post.
I agree. Yeah.
Oh, so speaking of the EECMS hashtag, we got some really great feedback from the community on our last episode when we launched that new series where we're interviewing members of the community who are active on that Twitter thread. I think we've got a good formula going.
I think so, too. I think it's because the EE community really is the best. And with the series, we have a chance to highlight the people that make it tick. So it's a way to really connect people even more in the community.
Yeah, and I know personally I enjoyed it. It's so nice just to talk to someone, not to have to like do research and find questions that are in depth and stuff like that, but just to get to know someone. I really enjoyed it.
Sure. And I think it was a useful episode, too. I love talking to people about how they run their business or their philosophy and how they work, even if it's completely different to my own workflow. It's really fascinating to see that people can be successful in so many different ways.
I think it's going to be a winner. Today, though, it's just the two of us, but I'm really excited to talk about search because it's one area or one of many areas in EE that I don't have a whole lot of experience. I've only used the standard search that comes with EE.
Sure.
So I kind of have a feeling I'm going to be interviewing you today.
I think I've had a little bit of experience with some search options. When we think about search, it really is one of the core functionalities of all content management systems, considering the fact that content management systems are all about the content and how do we find that content, how do we serve that content. So I also want to clarify that this episode is specifically about how to serve the searched content within our EE site. Otherwise, it's going to be a giant episode. So we're going to try to focus on the search capabilities that's output to the external site, mm-hmm. the main site.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So when we're talking about just EE Core, the search that comes with it, you know, I personally haven't had a project that needed much more than that. So for me, it satisfies the mm-hmm. requirement. But like I said, my requirements for search have been very simple. Being able to search or limit the search to specific channels is something that I quite like, but I imagine is not very uncommon. I noticed in some of your notes, you had noted that there were some issues with the speed of the EE Core search. Can you tell me more about what you mean by that?
Well, I personally haven't had much issue myself in terms of speeds, simply because the sites that I've worked on haven't been, you know, million visitor mm-hmm. sites. I think that when the needs of your site start becoming larger and larger, certain core functionality just might not be enough. And so some issues with speed can pop up in terms of how large that database is and how large they need to search within those fields. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main issue with that. I think EE Core, though, again, when we're talking about basic needs, really when we're thinking about what are we searching for, we're really thinking about searching a word mm-hmm. within custom fields or the title. Yeah. And for most sites, for most small to medium sites, that's more than enough. And that's why you would use the regular core. I think that the moment you start needing more granular options for searching, as well as different ways to display the results, is when you start trying to look beyond the EE Core options.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by the granularity of the search options, needing more of that, and how EE Core doesn't necessarily address that?
Generally speaking, when you're thinking about searching, it's just simply a search text box and then you press search. Mm-hmm. That's the majority of all search options. However, certain granular options where, let's say, you want to limit where you search and you want to give them options as for that. Earlier, you talked about how you can limit search via channel, but what if you want to give them an option to limit to one channel as well as all channels, mm-hmm. for example, right? Or if you want to search in terms of fuzzy keywords, what that means is, what if you want them to not look for that particular keyword exactly, that exact spelling? What if it looks for that keyword in multiple spellings or different ways to output synonyms of that word? You know, sometimes when you go to Google and you search for something, sometimes it asks you, do you actually mean this? Right?
Right, right.
In EE Core, you don't really have those types of granular options.
Gotcha. You also said that in terms of how search results can be displayed, and I've experienced this myself, you are a bit limited in terms of what you can display, especially because you can only select, what, one field as the search excerpt, right?
Yeah, and then I think you have very limited custom fields to even display using the EE Core. And another thing I wanted to talk about in terms of custom field, EE Core really only is very good at searching custom fields that are simply text-based, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If it stores the data as a text field or a text area, really easy, it searches it normally. But let's say you've got a complicated matrix field or some crazy custom field that stores data in a different way that isn't necessarily text only, well, it won't know, it won't search that properly. So again, if you have like extra fields that you need that just little bit of extra search options, then you need to go beyond the EE core.
So when you do go beyond the EE core, where do you start? How do you determine what kind of additional functionality you need?
Well, a lot of that is trying to figure out what kind of functionality we need. And depending on how accurate and how vast the database is. So for many people, might as well use Google search engine. It's the most powerful search engine in the world, and we all use it. We all know how to use it. It's just a matter of, well, how do we integrate the search results into Expression Engine? Mm-hmm. For those people who want to have pretty much every search option under the sun, using Google search engine or the various Google search options out there might be the best solution. There are a couple of options for you for that. The most famous one, I think, is Lowe's Google search. That's the one that I have experience with because a client of mine owned a Google search appliance. So essentially, Google search appliance is its own custom Google search engine specifically for them. And it's a way that we can display the search results within the template seamlessly. And this is really important because there are so many ways you can integrate third-party options into EE, but a lot of that really needs to have some JavaScript embed. And then in terms of branding and look and feel, that just looks awful. And when you use an add-on like Low Google Search, then you can actually style every single point of how that search result looks like, even though it's using Google's search engine for you.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, for your client that had the Google search appliance, is that the only thing that Lowe's Google search works with?
No. So it's Google search options are actually a lot more complicated than most people understand. Mm-hmm. Google actually has several different options depending on what your search needs are. They've got Google search appliance. They actually have something called Google Mini. And then they have Google site search. Now, most people in our community probably is more familiar with Google site search because that's how you can integrate Google's search engine for your site specifically. So it'll output search results that are specific for your site. There's also something called Google Custom Search Engine that Lowe's add-on doesn't actually tap into. And I think that's sort of related to the main Google that we know that isn't Google Site Search. And to be frank, I'm not really 100% sure what the major differences between Google Site Search and Google Custom Search is. I think Google Site Search, you actually have to sign up for it and it's specific to your site, while Google Custom Search is kind of like plugging in regular Google's search stuff into your site. So it might have results that aren't necessarily related to your site.
Right, gotcha. In terms of using the Low add-on, the strength of it is that you really can control your search results output and the styling of it?
Yeah, exactly. So it looks, it basically makes Google's search engine invisible, right?
Nice.
So yeah, so it looks like it's using the regular EE core because it really is using your templates and Lowe's tags and everything like that to output the search results exactly as you want it. So there's a lot more options on how to do that. And clearly when you're using the Google search appliance and if you know how to set all that stuff up, then you might have more relevant results. Now, these are solutions for really database, giant content, site intensive stuff. The reason why you would use something like Google Search Appliance is because sometimes, let's say this particular client actually has multiple sites that they own, that they want to kind of consolidate and only consolidate those sites into one place. So it's not searching the entirety of Google's database, it's just searching your multiple sites and then sending you relevant results specifically for the multiple sites that you've added to the search appliance.
Nice. Was that search appliance something that you had worked with the client to, you know, advise them to set that up, or is that something they already had before you came on board?
That was something they already had before I came on board, and it seemed like they actually had a full-time guy dealing with all of that, having to babysit the search appliance and making sure the database is good and customizing all that stuff, because it's a full-time job trying to make sure that all the data is tagged properly and dealt with, et cetera, and so forth. Beyond just Lowe's add-on, there is a Google custom search engine by Amphibian Design. So that's for the custom search, because that's something that Lowe doesn't have. He has the Google Search Appliance, Google Mini, Google Site Search, but the custom search is not included. So Amphibian actually created Google Custom Search. So it has similar functionality as Lowe's, except it uses a different engine.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, but in terms of, let's say we're still using EE Core because our needs are simple, there's different ways that you can still enhance the search options, because let's say you're okay with the way the results are being found, but maybe there's different ways you want to enhance it in terms of results and how it shows. So one of the main things that third-party add-on developers have created for the core are ways to highlight search content and search keywords within the results.
Right. So you can scan a page and you can glance and see your keyword in the excerpts. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So LSLab actually already created their own add-on for that called Search Highlight. Simply, it helps you style the word, whether you want to have like a yellow highlight in the background or something if you're searching for that particular word. And it seems like a lot of third-party add-ons had a similar idea, but they have their own little twist to it. Aaron Gustafson created something called Search Summary that does something similar. There's this other add-on called Spyglass that's also similar to Highlight. However, I think Spyglass, which is a commercial add-on, does something a little bit different. I think it searches the system a little bit different because it says it's very, very fast. So I'm not a database expert.
You think it bypasses the core search and does its own?
Yeah, I think one of the things that it mentions on the devotee page is that it actually, let's see here. I'm just reading this. Fast database-based search on keywords. Oh, no more redirect to search results page. Oh. So it actually directly runs the search when the data is available. I think that's part of the reason why it's much faster. A lot of things that we do in the core, we always have to refresh to a new template to get stuff happening.
So of some, do you use that the highlight or the search summary features often?
No, not really. My clients didn't really want it or need it. I remember years and years ago, I tried to work, I think, with Search Highlight before, and it wasn't working as I expected, so I just abandoned it. And that's just my personal experience for that. Another add-on that I saw that I haven't used, but I think is really cool, it's called A&M Impact Search Suggest. So something that, say, the low Google search and all, like, well, Google does this normally. If you search for something and it doesn't have any results, it gives you suggestions saying, well, did you mean this?
I love that idea. And that's not too expensive of an add-on. It's just $10. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we make typos all the time. So having something like that to just enhance the user experience for searching, I think, is a great add-on.
Yeah, that one would be interesting to try. It says it's based on a dictionary that can be, you know, formed from the content of your site. I wonder if that's something you have to set up in advance or not, but yeah, that would be cool. I do think it's important that when you are displaying search results, to make them as useful. It's kind of like a 404 page. You can just say there were no results, or you can guide your user in another direction. So I'm going to look at that add-on myself.
So let's say that you've decided that Google search items are really overkill. And frankly, Google Search Appliance, for example, is really expensive. It's really an enterprise product. You have to buy a $20,000 license. So most people won't really be using those types of things unless they've got an enterprise level project. And again, it might be overkill, or for whatever reason you don't believe that the Google search options are exactly what you need. There's a couple of major add-ons that I know that the community knows about that utilizes Expression Engine's database, and it's become its own search engine within EE. So I'm going to talk about the one that I have experience with first before we go to the next one, and that is Soulspace's Super Search. Super Search. Yeah, for my particular client, we were essentially building an academic database. So it's being run and updated by a librarian, and it's searched through by various academics. So there was a lot of need for search capabilities. So we needed to have abilities for it to be searched by category, topic, and keyword. And so when you're setting this up in Expression Engine, the category is just the regular EE categories. The topic was actually a word list that was a multiple checkbox field. And the keyword is essentially any word that's written in any text-based custom field, so like a text area or a text field. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted that the results also be sortable by year of publication, that's sortable by title, sortable by language, because they were publishing items from multiple countries. And when the link, and then they also wanted to be sorted as to when the link was added on, which is separate from the year of publication. So they could have added a resource that was published in 2005 yesterday. And then so they needed a way that you can just see recently added items versus other ones.
Wow, that is really custom.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, when you're thinking about academic database and then researchers mm-hmm, are reading this, mm-hmm. they need to have a billion different ways to isolate the content and information. So we chose Soulspace's Super Search for this essentially because it's a workhorse. It gives you so many different options to search, and basically everything that I just told you, it can do. It was able to do. So again, like as I just mentioned, the requirements of that site, clearly
you couldn't do that with Core. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was really glad that Super Search existed. It's definitely a commercial add-on with so many different features.
With all those features, is there a steep learning curve getting it set up?
You know, not really. Not really. It was surprisingly easy because once you just kind of list over, okay, here's what it needs to search, I just had to figure out how do I build this form, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Soulspace's documentation had enough ways where it understood how to search. It gave you many options how to search from category, topic, and keyword. So it just basically the search form is really intense. It gives you very many options. And yeah, Soulspace's Super Search was able to do all of that.
Nice. And at least on the product page, it says that it will also do that sort of suggesting of terms.
Yeah. So when you deal with a third-party add-on like Super Search, we were talking about, granular options and highlight options and things like that. Well, when you buy like a giant commercial add-on like this, it kind of has all the features you'd really want to consider.
Everything in one place, so it's like worth your money.
Yes, exactly. So you're not trying to add like 10 add-ons to do all the things that you want. It's just all in one add-on to do all of that. Now, it's not perfect. For me, I've never really had any speed issues. Like when it renders, it's really fast for this my client site. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. one of the issues that I did run into when dealing with this, and I haven't looked into it again, and so I'm not sure if this has changed over the versions, but and this isn't just isolated to Super Search. I think some search add-ons still have difficulties dealing with even more granularity. And by what I mean mm-hmm. by that is, what if you want to search specifically for a group of words? So let's say you want to search for dessert and cake. So you put in dessert and cake in the keywords. Most search options will look for both those words always. So it will only give you search results that have both those words somewhere. Mm-hmm. What if you only want to put dessert in cake and you want to show anything that has the word dessert or cake?
Right.
As long as it's got one or the other. There's difficulty in having that option on there. That's I think, one caveat about that kind of thing.
Is that when, like, using a Google search comes in handy? Like, when you do need that kind of or searching?
I believe so. I've never had any need to add that within the form. So most of the time, it really kind of is a fuzzy search where it just looks for any entry. It's just that right now, sometimes it just gives you a default item and it just won't give you an option for mm-hmm. any of the other ones, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like one search place decides, okay, so it's going to be the any as opposed to the and or right. whatever, right? Again, I haven't had a chance to, with this particular client, to really dive into it to double and triple check that that's been addressed in the search options. But I know for sure that was something that I still had to work on back when I was implementing it.
Mm-hmm. You also had shared a note when you were talking about Soul Space's Super Search that it could be a possible replacement to the channel entries tag.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting note in SuperSearch's page. It mentioned, really, when you stop and think about it, they're kind of right, because really, search results, really, what is the channel entries tag? It's searching through your database with specific content needed, as in like only show content from the blog channel within dates this and this, right? Or the most recent entries. Let's say SuperSearch, you've got something really, really specific you want on a list that you can't find within the channel entries tag. And let's say SuperSearch had the parameters to search through them, then technically that's what it is, right? Because all these entries loops. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting way to think about it, because I never really thought about it that way until I read it on their page. If you really have some specific results listing that you want, it can essentially be a replacement for the channel entries tag, especially because, you know, we're always talking about optimizing expression engine. How's the fastest way to do this, et cetera, and so forth. A lot of the third party add-on developers are always thinking about, how do I get this to show up as fast as possible? And perhaps these add-ons bypass something, the extra checks, because whenever I do performance checks with Expression Engine, you look at like you turn on that feature where it shows you like every single query that it does. Well, you know, the channel entries tag, you have to disable so many things, otherwise it'll search through everything, et cetera, and so forth. Well, you know, with SuperSearch, you just be really more specific, and then it won't even search through the tables you don't want it to search. It just searches exactly where you want it to.
Nice.
And that's why it's a possible replacement for the entries tag. I thought that was actually quite interesting.
Yeah, that's a nice option to point out, because I know when there are times I end up being like, oh, I'm gonna have to write something custom, and that could be a way around that.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. But you know, that might be overkill, considering if you don't have vast search needs, it is $100 extra.
Yeah, although yeah. Sometimes $100 is totally worth it.
absolutely. But beyond SuperSearch, that's the one that I have experience with. There is another add-on that is also very powerful, and it's by Low. It's not Google Search, but it's just Low Search. So it doesn't look through the Google search appliance and everything like that, but it's Low's way to search within the Expression Engine database. And one of the things that he mentions again is that it's very fast. And I think one really high profile site that uses Low Search is Devotee.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Well,
they just switched over.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I can't say that their search is fast.
I think that's one thing that they've been working on more and more, is, of course, speeding up their site. And our next guest, Adrian, actually has, you know, optimized Low Search specifically for devotee, and we can chat with her a little bit more over how she did that. I think, again, I'm not a developer, but I'm reading Devotee's post about it. It says, Low Search uses MySQL's native full text search capabilities, which means it uses a lot fewer queries and is blazing fast. So I think that's part of the reason. Again, another reason why you might want to bypass the native EE core. It probably just uses way more queries than it needs to or you want it to do. And Low Search bypasses that.
Nice. Well, I'll have to get on Devotee soon and check it out, because I will say in the past, I didn't think their search was like blazingly fast. So if it is improved, it'll be noticeable. So I'm excited to try that.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that Low Search is definitely another option for those that are taking a look at the different search, third-party search options. It is also less expensive than Soulspace's Super Search as well. So that's something to keep in mind. I remember taking a look at Low Search, the earlier version. So before choosing Super Search instead, I think it just didn't have some sort of extra search functionality they wanted at the time, which is why we went with Super Search. But it looks like Low Search is really promising.
Nice. Well, it's one thing that's really nice about this episode is there are a lot more options out there than I realized.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
a lot.
Yes. Oh, and another thing that I noticed that Low on his site, one of the first bullet points that he put on there is that his search is accent and diacritic insensitive.
What does that mean?
What it really means is, like, if you have a French site with a E accent, for example, those kind of things. So if it's diacritic insensitive, that means it's going to give you the search result even if it doesn't have the accented E. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I gotcha.
It's insensitive, like, because it understands that you're trying to look for the particular word, because when you're programming, right, it needs to be like so exact right? And that you have to program it to be a little bit less exact so it actually gives you the results that you want. And I think that's something that's interesting about third-party developers that is not in North America, you know?
Right.
And I noticed that right away because, you know, Lowe's from Amsterdam? He's in Europe.
He's Dutch, right?
Yes. Yeah. He lives in a houseboat in Europe somewhere. And I think it's very interesting, especially if you are an international expression engine developer or just simply a developer looking into ways to be sensitive towards different languages, if that's what your site needs to have. Something like this could be very important for your search item that may not be in other search options.
Right. And it's something that it's easy to overlook if it's something you're not dealing with regularly. But like you said, outside of maybe North American developers, they're a lot more sensitive to, multiple languages.
So I think we chatted a lot about all the search options we can have for expression engine.
Well, I did have one question. Is there a search for searching the actual control panel?
Yes, there is an actual control panel search add-on. So this is now just for searching within the control panel. This is more for your clients and for yourself rather than an output for visitors to your site. It's called Switchboard by Via Design.
Now, have you used this or are you just checking it out?
No, I'm just checking it out, but it looks nice.
So it just gives you a way to find stuff easier from your control panel?
Yeah, I think so, because I mean, especially for those starting with Expression Engine, where it's hard to figure out where things are, and you know, you forget where things are too. And it's just a fast way to get from point A to point B instead of going through the menus, et cetera, and so forth.
Now, is this similar? Now, I haven't used Zenvue yet, but is it similar to that?
No, I wouldn't really say so, because Zenvue searches within entries.
Okay.
And has different ways to search and organize your entries in the edit page, while Switchboard kind of just searches through the entire control panel. So if you need to switch into how do I get to field groups to edit field groups, or how do I get to templates, or how do I get to category groups, you know, really quickly, instead of going through the menu, it's just a search option where you can find it and then you can get into that section right away.
Oh, okay. So it's probably most useful to a developer, maybe not the client, but like you said, a new developer who's not too familiar with all the nesting and the drop-down menu buttons.
Sure.
Cool. Sure.
So I think that's pretty much all the options for search that I found. I did do a search and found a few more add-ons, but I wanted to highlight the most popular ones and the ones that I've actually used. And also ones that have been updated in 2012.
Right.
Yeah. So
active development.
Exactly. So it doesn't have to be like updated yesterday or whatever. Some add-ons don't need that, but there are add-ons that are out there for search that haven't been updated since 2010 or 2011. So mm-hmm. I haven't mentioned those, mm-hmm. but the ones that we've mentioned in this episode are definitely in production and still being used. And I've personally used a couple of them.
Well, I'm again, this is just another reason why I love doing this podcast, is I now have, what, 5 different add-ons I can do research on for my next project that for I wouldn't sure. have thought of before.
For sure. That's all the time we have for today. We'd now like to thank our sponsors for this podcast, EE Garage and Pixel and Tonic.
We would also like to thank our partners, Ellis Lab, Engine Hosting, and Devotee.
Also, thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about the podcast, make sure you follow us on Twitter at EE Podcast or visit our website, ee-podcast.com.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when Adrienne Travis will join us to talk about template partials and stash, and maybe we'll ask her what she thinks about low search, too, for Devotee.
For sure.
Be sure to check out our schedule on our site, ee-podcast.com/schedule, for more upcoming topics. We've got some great guests lined up.
This is Leah Alcantara.
And Emily Lewis.
Signing off for the Expression Engine Podcast. See you next time.
Cheers.